God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and go to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. God loves us. God loves us. There is nothing that we can do to make him love us more. Nor is there anything we can do that will make him love us less. But I want to be loving back to God, and I desire to have my life evidence how grateful, how thankful, and how much I love my Lord God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I want my life to reflect his wonderful love. He is the initiator of love. He is the genesis. He is the origin. He is the supplier, and he is also the definer of love. He sets the terms, which are unconditional. He sets the boundaries, which love is endless, fathomless, and measureless. He sets the definition. Contrary to Pat Benatar, love is not a battlefield. If the scriptures are true, that God so loved the world, then how so? Unconditionally. And there is nothing that we can do to make him love us less. And there is also nothing we can do to make him love us more. Now that may be unconventional to your ears, something you have not heard, but that is the reality of it. The question is then, what is our response? What do you want to do with that kind of love? In this study that we've been doing, in a study of love, and defining our relationship with the Father, we need to come to terms with it that there is nothing that you can do to make God love you more. And there is nothing you can do to make God love you less. But it is much more profitable for you to love him back, because it will relieve your heart and it will give joy to your soul. I trusted when I began this that you will find three things: a richer, deeper, fuller relationship with God as our Father, a way that you can behave as a son of God that shows the glory of his family, and that only Jesus Christ did it perfectly. But what do we want to do with it? If we receive his love subjectively, that is, we take it to ourselves, to take it to oneself, to embrace it, should we not also then receive it objectively to attain to the purpose that he gave it, to love him back and to love our neighbor as ourselves? And I was thinking about that. Part of loving our neighbor as ourselves is not as I love me, but love as we ourselves are loved by God. Does that make sense to you? I'm not endeavoring to love my neighbor as I love myself, because there are days I don't love myself. There are people who do not love themselves. But to love we ourselves as God loves us, to love as we ourselves are loved by God. Love my neighbor that way. It's fulfilling the first and great commandment to love God with all of your heart, soul, your mind, and your strength. And the second is like unto it. It is equally united together the same. That's what that word like unto means. It means equally united or together the same, to love thy neighbor as thyself. You cannot do the first, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you do not do the second. It evidences that you're doing the first by living the second. Does that make sense to you? See, we cannot make God love us more, but there is a lot more that we can do with his love, and that is to make ourselves an endeared one to God, an endeared one to the ministers, and an endeared one to the Word of God and to our neighbors. One who conducts his conduct, his demeanor, and his passion to reflect God's superior love. That is what the scriptures call a technon. We're getting into that word. Technon is the word translated son, it's translated child, it's translated children. Technon appears in the New Testament 100 times. And it means the child in the faith who is beloved, and the child in the faith who is beloved to a minister is also an indication. It's an intimate and a reciprocal relationship formed by a bond of love, fulfilling the function and purpose for which God so loved the world that he gave. For which God first loved us, that we ought to love one another. In John chapter 1 and in verse 12, it tells us, but as many as received, and here the word received is the word lambano, to receive objectively. In other words, to receive it for its purpose and to attain that purpose. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, and that is authority. That's the word exousia. It's one of the words translated power. We also say power with an impact, but it also means to have the authority to exercise the power. To as many as received for the purpose of attaining the purpose as to why he gave it, to them gave he the authority to become the sons, and that's the word technon, an endeared child, one who responds back with love. That measureless, that endless, that fathomless love. That love that originated with the Father. That love that found its genesis with the Father. And that love that he gave to us that we might love one another. That love is the love of a technon. That's what it's talking about. That's the kind of son we should desire to be. To them, he gave the authority, the power and authority, to become the sons of God, or the technon of God. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Even to them that believe on his name, or his namesake, Jesus Christ, is really what that's after. Beautiful. He gave it to us. For the purpose, the express purpose, is that we will manifest it. That technon, that one who responds back with such wonderful, great love. With that conduct and that demeanor, with that passion to reflect his superior love. That's That's what verse 12 is really talking about. And we have to have the word in order to get there, because the word is what sets the definitions for us. Beautiful. He's given us power and the authority to exercise that power, that we might be endeared sons of God. That when people see us, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Exactly. And God is love. Pretty neat, isn't it? Verse 13, which were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. Beautiful. Means the born again ones. The born again ones. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. As we look at this. Because I not only want you to get the definition, I want you to get the purpose. I want you to really see the purpose of it. Because people can deny the scriptures. People can deny there is a God. But he cannot deny our lives as we live it. We have the witness within, and we reflect the testimony of God. We reflect the testimony of Jesus Christ, because we reflect his superior kind of love. And they can't deny our lives. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons, the technon of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, this is the manner. This is the way. This is the abundant blessing, the abundant quality of the love the Father hath bestowed upon us, an endless, a fathomless, a boundless love, an unconditional love, a beautiful love, a love that adds beauty, a love that adds zest to life. This is that kind of love that God bestowed upon us, that we should be called, and the word called means to bear the name. To bear the name, the technon of God. Isn't that something? That's the name that he has given to us. That's the name we are known by, the angels of God. We are known by the cherubims by that very same name. And even the adversary's kingdom knows we are the endeared sons of God. That's the name we bear. That's the name we carry. That's the name we reflect in the family of God. And truth knows it. And the family of God, and when I speak of the family of God, I'm not just talking about the church. I'm not just talking about Israel. I am talking about the entire family of God that includes angels, cherubims, and seraphims, and everything else that has to do with the kingdom of God that is living and breathing. Maybe not even breath life, but everything that has life, God's life in it. That is the title you and I carry, and that is how they see us. We ought to see ourselves in the same way and conduct ourselves in the very same way. Beloved, verse 2, beloved, now are we the technon of God. It's not something for the future. It's something he gave us right now, and we can live it when? Because it's available. We can believe it right now because it is available. He, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be when we can do it perfectly. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he, what?
Is.
And he is love, and he is absolute pure light, and he is absolute pure love. That's our calling. And that's what we can do right now. We must exercise our power along with the authority if we love our neighbors. You see, the way the world looks at it, a tragedy takes place and people say, how can God allow this to happen? Number one, God didn't do it. Number two, secondly, he gave us power and authority to be the technon of God, with the compassion of God, with the love of God, with the concern of God. We then must exercise our power with authority if we love our neighbor as ourselves. We need to exercise our privilege to enter into the very throne room of grace with our prayer of faith for all those in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. See, the scriptures don't give us the power to vote. The scriptures don't give us the power to campaign. You can, but our civil government is what gives us the power to vote. Our civil government gives us the power to campaign. We don't need the power of God for that. But it does authorize us, meaning the scriptures, that the scriptures is not what gives us the power to vote for someone or to campaign. But it does authorize us to make supplications. It does authorize us to make prayers. It does authorize us to make intercessions and giving of thanks with power for kings and for all that are in authority. Presidents, congressmen, senators, governors, mayors, and the police, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You want to vote? Vote. That's your right as an American. I'm talking about what we are spiritually authorized to do, and honestly, what we are to do to reflect God's love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He still loves the world. Even though his son has come and the world has rejected it, he still so loves the world. And we are here and we can lead a quiet and peaceable life, and the world can enjoy the benefits of it, not by who we have voted for or didn't vote for, but or campaigned for or didn't campaign for, but because we can pray with power and authority. We can exercise the power of God that he has given to us, the access to the very throne room of God to find grace to help in time of need. We can, with power and authority, pray for those that are in charge. How that all works out, that's God's job. My job is to get in there and pray. My job is to make the intercessions. My job is to make the supplications for them. How it's going to happen, I don't know. That's God's job. It's his problem to figure out. I'm sure he's got it already figured out. We cannot wait for the radical Muslims in the world to decide, gee, I've been mean. I need to stop doing that. Our politicians to realize, oh my gosh, I was corrupt and I need to change my ways. Or reprobate minds to realize, gosh, my judgment is so daggum perverted. the things I'm doing just don't square with life or anything else. Not going to happen. But what God says will, and my prayer will also. My intercessions will also, because he says he hears and he will fulfill his promises. Do what an endeared son does, the Father's will, and that's what we need to do. See, because that is what our Father has asked us to do and given us power and authority to carry it out. Do you want to carry it out? See? Do our part with love and let God do his part. But you have been authorized, you have been deputized, and you are not paralyzed. Do your part if you love your neighbor as much as you are loved by God. Joshua, let's go to the book of Joshua. Turn back there. I know some perhaps are wondering, what? I've never heard anything like this. Well, we should have. We should have heard this a long time ago. But it's okay. It's still the truth and it still functions now. It still functions today. And we ought to get busy doing those things. You know, all of the other stuff is extraneous to it. You know, whether your Meals on Wheels and all these other things that you can do, they're nice. And if you want to do them, participate in them. I'm not saying that they are ungodly or I don't know. You know, I don't know the genesis of their beginnings, but I do know the genesis of mine. And it started in the heart of the Father from day one. For God so loved the world that I am fully aware of, and I am absolutely convinced that is the truth. And I want to do something for my God because I so love him, and I want to do something for what he loved, which is the world. But I'm going to do it on a spiritual level, not on some senses level. I'm not looking for some pat on the back from somebody, because when I do it in the quiet of my own living room, I am accessing the throne room of grace with all the power and everything else that God has given to me, and I am doing more in my living room quietly by myself than 100,000 people out in the street with signs yelling and screaming. Because with all the yelling and screaming, that we have not got one step closer to living a quiet and peaceable life with all godliness and honesty. But my way, which is God's way, really, he's the one that instructed me to pray for them. My way is getting us closer and closer day by day. And I don't care what the world thinks or what the world says. And honestly, even believers can think I'm out of my mind. Doesn't faze me in the least, because I know the records from the scriptures. And I've got nothing to prove, but I've got everything to live. Well, Joshua chapter, what did I say, chapter 23? Did I say 23? Well, it's 23. Okay, good. And let's start in verse 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath what?
Promised
you, and he is absolutely faithful to his promises. That's what he said, that's what he will do. And he has told us that we ought to pray. We ought to make intercession. We ought to make supplications for all that are in authority for the purpose of that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And that's exactly how I desire to live my life. So I plan to do what he said. That is my plan. See? One man of you shall chase a thousand, and if you understand that we wrestle not against flesh and
blood.
So, you know, let them campaign their hearts out. Let them do, you know, whatever they're going to do. Men, I'm not concerned with that. My concern is where God has given us the power and authority. For I give you power over all the power of the enemy, that nothing shall, that you could tread upon all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. And Jesus was speaking about the spirit realm. We can put 10,000 to flight, one of you. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, who is spirit, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised. That's why I know that we can live a quiet and peaceable life, not because we voted for so-and-so and they're much better than so-and-so. And they were better than the guy who was before them. Or the woman that's going to come after them, or all this other stuff. All that's baloney. Just vanity. Where there is real power, where there is real authority, and where there is real effect. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the might and dominions of this world. Against evil spirits from on high. That's where the challenge to life is. And everybody aims way low and shoot each other. When we should love our neighbor as
ourselves
are loved by God, for God so loved the world. See, be an endeared one. This is a worthy life pursuit. I think of kids that are going to college and trying to choose a career and trying to determine a lot of things. Let me tell you, there's a great career in being a minister of God. But even as a believing one, take on the responsibility with love because you have been empowered. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's a great life pursuit to be an endeared one. You want to be a doctor, you want to be a lawyer, you want to be a politician, you want to be all these different things. Let your life's pursuit, your real life's pursuit, be to be an endeared one. One who reflects back the love God has loved us with. Love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as
ourselves.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. And the believing ones, the beloved ones at Corinth, were having a very difficult time in doing that and carrying that out. And Paul writes them back And I wanted to show you this because, like I said, the only one who ever did it perfectly was the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 14, it says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved technon, my beloved sons, I warn you. It's my beloved sons, I warn you. The word warn means put in mind, exhort, to remind you as one with authority, as a minister. You are not naked. You are not defenseless, and neither are you naive. You understand these spiritual truths. That's what Paul's communicating to the church in Corinth. You're not even naive about spiritual matters. You're mature believers. So I'm taking this time to give you a moment to put you in mind, to exhort you and remind you. You have power. You have authority. Exercise it. If you're sitting around waiting for revelation, I just gave you the revelation that he gave to the Corinthians. You've got power to be an endeared son. Get busy. Go to work with all the love of God in Christ in your heart and in your being. Make that prayer. Make that intercession. Make that giving of thanks, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And that's not just the whole of it. There's a lot more involved. But specifically for our time at this particular juncture in life, I wanted to share that with you. Put a ribbon here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Accept the responsibility of doing the words that God has spoken to us, the direction that God has given to us, the instructions our Father has laid before us that we might have a quiet and peaceable life. Take on the responsibility because no one else is taking it on. We're too busy out the street. We're too busy in the back room, complaining, so on and so forth. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Be mature. Be that strong believer. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And like I say, I can do a lot more in the quiet of my living room, just sitting there by myself, where there's no obstructions, nothing else. It's easy. It's simple. And I have full power and full authority to make changes and really affect. See, take on the responsibility with love because you have been empowered. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 4. And here he's speaking, and it's hard to read these things, but he's speaking to the Corinthians. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. And then we come to this great hallmark section of the word, where you care enough to send the very best. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved technon. and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you in remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. See, to put them in mind, to exhort them, to remind you as one who has an authority in how to do it. We have a holy work to do, and we ought to be about our Father's business. We ought to be establishing the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is now. It is in you. We should establish the kingdom of God on earth, lived by spiritual, loving people, born again of his Spirit, with power and authority. And I'd like to close in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, beginning in verse 13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the technon of God, without rebuke, even in the midst," I added the even, "but even in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Let love reign."